Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And on that day, we honor those members of the armed forces who have died while in service to this country. They died as members of the military and armed forces. Now, Memorial Day is different than Veterans Day, in which all veterans are honored. We give thanks for their service as well. And on Memorial Day, the word which should come to mind for all of us is the word freedom. Because thanks to those who sacrifice their lives, and thanks to all those who served, we enjoy today so many freedoms. We have the freedom to govern ourselves, to elect our representatives. We have the freedom to gather and worship as we choose. We have the freedom, if we want, to speak in opposition to the government without being arrested. We can be thankful for these blessings. Our reading today reminds me of this freedom. It comes to us from the book of Acts. And here in Acts, we find that Paul and Silas are in the city of Philippi. It's to the Philippians that Paul will write a later letter. Philippi was a Roman city and had many expressions of faith throughout the city. Many gods and temples were there. But Paul and Silas have gone there because it's a large city, and it is here that they want to create a Christian community. They want to teach people about Jesus, to gather them together, because Paul and Silas and the others in their group, they are missionaries. And so there they are in Philippi, meeting people, teaching about Christ, moving through the city, when one day, while they're there, they encounter this young girl. She is a slave. But more than that, she has a special quality about her. She has a spirit within her. They call it a spirit of divination. The word divination, actually, it's a spirit of Python, which relates her to the oracle of the god Apollo. But nonetheless, she has this ability to tell one's fortunes. And her owners, remember she's a slave, her owners take advantage of this by selling her services. If you want to know your fortune, you go to this girl, but you give your money to her owners. So she was very valuable. Paul and Silas walk by, and this spirit within her, this spirit which enables her to see things that maybe the rest of us can't, identify Paul and Silas as being special themselves. And so she shouts out, she cannot help but shout out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." Now, on the one hand, you would think this would be great publicity for Paul and for Silas. They're outsiders. They're not from town. And to have somebody shouting out who they are and what they're doing, and especially someone as unusual as this young girl, that would be great, wouldn't it? Great social media. And this went on for many days. This girl followed Paul and Silas around until finally it kind of got on Paul's nerves. We read, "Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.'" Now, why did Paul do this? It may be that he didn't want the message of Jesus Christ to be confused with the oracle of Apollo. Didn't want people to think that they were somehow connected. So he wanted to sever any tie with this girl who was following them around. Or the easier explanation is he was just really, really irritated at having her shout at them for day after day. It says, Paul, very much annoyed, that the Greek is literally, he was at the end of his tether, at the end of his rope. He had just had enough. So he exercises this spirit out of this girl. And it goes downhill from there, because the owners find out that the girl can't tell fortunes anymore. They've lost their golden goose. and they are very upset. They were making money off of her, so they go and they seize Paul and Silas, and they drag them into the marketplace before the magistrates. And that the charge that they bring before about Paul and Silas is not that they have ruined their economic model, destroyed their business. Instead, they accuse them of disturbing the peace, of upsetting the Roman order. Their accusation is these men are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe. The Jewish Christian value system is different from that of the Roman society, and it challenged the Roman society, and that's what they used against them. That if you allow them to bring their worship of their God into our city, it's going to mess things up. And this argument gains traction with the crowd, and so they turn against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates have them stripped and beaten with rods and thrown into prison. And they give order to the jailer to keep them secure. These are important prisoners. Do not let them get away. And so the jailer puts them into the innermost prison, which innermost cell, which we can assume is the most secure, and then just for good measure, locks their feet in the stocks. They're not getting out of this place. So, quick summary. We have Paul and Silas in Philippi, missionaries of Jesus, arrested, stripped, beaten, publicly humiliated, locked into a foreign jail with no hope of escape. And it's nighttime. It is pitch black dark. Now, when I think about this situation and put myself in their shoes, or literally their stocks at this point, I would be terrified. Whenever I travel, I make very sure that I don't do anything that's going to get me thrown into some foreign jail. And if I were, I would be probably just curled up on the floor crying for my mother. But that's not what Paul and Silas does, is it? No, they're not crying. They're praying. They're singing out loud. And the jail, you've got to assume there are prisoners all around them, and they can hear Paul and Silas. And I imagine that Paul, always taking every advantage of every opportunity, uses his prayers as little sermons to tell about Jesus. He's probably praying something like, "Oh Lord, we pray for you in the name of your Son, who came to take away our sins, to change our lives," and on and on. And I'm sure they've got plenty of time, and they've certainly got a captive audience. And in these prayers, they tell the story of Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. But they don't just pray. They also sing. We don't know what they sing, hymns, spirituals of the day. But I am willing to bet that one song that they sang was one that Paul would quote later in his letter to the church at Philippi. We call this the Christ hymn, and we will use it in a few moments as our statement, as our affirmation of faith, as we do on occasion. You remember the words, "Jesus Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited." Paul sang this hymn, and I'm sure that he and Silas did so that they all could hear it. You know, just as we would sing some song that we know by heart, like "Amazing Grace" or "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And then, in the middle of the night, something happened. Something very unusual and unexpected happened. There was an earthquake. And it not only shakes the prison, but it causes the doors to open. And it causes the chains around their legs to become unfastened. Now, the jailer is awakened by the noise of the earthquake, and when he sees that the prison doors are opened, he assumes the worst. Since the prisoners are his responsibility, their escape means probably, well, definitely the loss of his job and likely his execution. And so he prepares to kill himself there, get it over with. He takes his sword, but Paul calls out to him, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The miracle is not just that the doors had opened and the chains were loosened. The greater miracle, especially for the jailer, is that the prisoners had remained in their places. And this miracle is quite obvious to the jailer. And so he calls for lights and he throws himself on his knees before Paul and Silas, and he recognizes that they represent a greater power. Power greater than anything that he's witnessed in his life. And so he asks him the question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Because clearly he had heard Paul's preaching and prayers earlier on, because he lives there in the jail too. And Paul's answer is very simple. He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." And then the jailer takes Paul and Silas back home. He washes their wounds, gives them food, and he asks Paul and Silas to tell his family and his household about Jesus, and they hear, they listen, they accept, and they are baptized. As I mentioned earlier, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and it raises the question of freedom. It invites us to examine the nature of freedom. And so as I read this story and think about Memorial Day, I ask the question, who among us is free? And who is bound? Who is free? Who are free? And who are slaves? Well, in the story, it's pretty easy to tell who the oppressed are. Well, we start off with the slave girl, a slave, who is also possessed by some spirit. So in two ways, she is bound. And then there's Paul and Silas. They would seem to be the ones who are the most not free. They're tied up in the innermost cell of the jail, and yet, even though they've been arrested, beaten, chained up, and jailed, they're free. Because of their faith in Christ, they are free. Even when the cell doors open, they stay. They have nothing to run from, do they? They have nothing to escape, because in their hearts, they are free. So what is freedom? Well, there are lots and lots of definitions. Philosophers can argue about it for book after book. But a simple definition would say that freedom is the state of not being constrained. Freedom is being able to change your life, to change your situation, to change what. If we are free, then we can change. For example, I live here in Tennessee. But am I free to move somewhere else, to Montana, say, to pursue a life of fly fishing? Yes, technically, my wife might have a different point of view, but the state's not going to stop me from doing that. And in this country, when we talk about freedom, it's generally political freedom, freedom to assemble, freedom of speech, freedom to worship. But freedom stops at injuring others. We are not free to cause injury to other people. But the political freedoms that we do enjoy are truly a blessing. But that's not the freedom we're talking about in this story today. Because the freedom enjoined by Paul and Silas is the freedom that is found in God. Let's take a moment and look at some scripture passages about freedom. In the Gospel of John, we read that Jesus says to those who believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And then Paul's words to the church in Rome, "But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And then in Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, he writes, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." To be free, in a Christian sense, is to be free from sin. But paradoxically, we may be free, but we are also now enslaved to God. Remember the slave girl identified Paul and Silas as slaves of the Most High God. Because when we are free, it means we have given ourselves wholly and completely to God. Only when we are able to shed the concerns and worries of this world and focus our hearts on the kingdom can we be free with God. And when we give ourselves to God, yes, we become enslaved to God, but that is a great joy. Some of you may recall the lyrics about freedom. Lyrics sung by Janis Joplin in the song Bobby McGee. Lyrics were written by Kris Kristofferson, we must say. "Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose." And as I think about those, I think that Jesus would agree with that. Because remember the story of the rich man who comes to Jesus with that question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus' answer is, "Well, sell all you got, give the money to the poor, and then follow me." But the scriptures tell us that because he was wealthy and he had many possessions, he had a lot of stuff, he couldn't bring himself to do that. He couldn't sell what he had and give it to the poor. And so he walked away, sad. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Man couldn't lose his stuff, so he couldn't become free and become a disciple of Christ. The hardest part of accepting God is giving up everything else and embracing God's freedom. Paul and Silas, they understood that. They were willing to give up everything, even their lives, it seems, for the sake of the gospel, to share this message of salvation with the world. They wanted the world to hear of this promise of freedom, this promise that would take us away from the concerns and worries of this world and open our hearts to the glory of the kingdom. My question to you this day, this Memorial Day weekend, when we are thinking about freedoms, what are we willing to do? Amen.